One of the most fascinating things that occurred last year, the Hubble telescope finished its mission of aging the universe, and they decided to do something different with it. They opened up the lens and they pointed it into a relatively dark portion of the universe where nothing's readily visible, and they left the lens open for 8.3 days, and then they closed it. Then sometime later, maybe a week or two later, somebody said, hey, we need to go look at that that photograph that we took.
Yeah, that spot of black darkness, right?
Yeah. So they downloaded it, and as it was downloading, they sort of postulated among themselves, gee, we're looking into a very young part of the universe. Surely we'll see remnants of the Big Bang. We'll see chaos. We'll see clouds of gas coalescing into planets and galaxies. And then the picture came up, and it wasn't that at all. It was thousands and thousands of organized galaxies.
With billions and billions of stars in each galaxy.
Already organized.
Yeah.
In one of the youngest portions of the universe.
That you cannot see with the naked eye.
Right. Well, you can't even see with Hubble until you leave the lens open for a week.
That's pretty far. That's something. Well, with this order, with this creation, have you, and I don't want to jump ahead because we've got you for a few more hours, but have you come up with an understanding of why?
Yes, and I'll try not to jump too far ahead. Let me lay a little bit of groundwork. We talked about the flood earlier, and we asked why the flood? Why did all of this happen? Okay, some records that we have say that the morality of the creation, the men that were here and there on the planet, had become corrupted. That the order, the maternal or paternal order that had been set up by the Creator had been corrupted. And we did some investigation as to who corrupted it, who brought corruption to the earth. And we found in Genesis a race known as the Nephilim. Now, there are lots and lots of books written about the Nephilim, but I think all of them missed the mark.
And when you're saying we found, you're talking about you as scientists or you as what?
As authors.
Okay.
My co-author, E.J. Clark, found evidence that the Nephilim were actually off-worlders. They were not human. They were giants. They were watchers that came to this earth, very, very intelligent giants, and they had children with men. It says in the scriptures that the sons of God and the daughters of men
right.
had offspring, and that offspring became corrupt. Now, one thing about the Nephilim's DNA, as opposed to our DNA, is it could blend with anything. It could have children with men, it could have children, offspring with any kind of animal. And so all of these anomalies, these aberrations became visible and became prevalent, and men wrote about them.
And in some cases, I would say hideous.
Yes.
All
yeah,
right.
A lot of them were abominations. And the earth became so corrupted, so upside down, that the Creator decided to clean it with water, and so the flood occurred. Now, those Nephilim, being off-worlders and very intelligent, many of them left prior to the flood, and they were
in craft. I assume that they got here in,
or they transdimensionally travel somehow.
All right, all right.
But they were present on both Earths, the Spirit Earth and Noah's people, and this Earth here. And then after the flood, they returned and they continued to corrupt this planet. And there's record of them in the Atlantean writings, in Lemurian writings, all over South America. There are these creatures, and they are. Oh, 7 feet, 8 feet, 9 feet, some of them 12 feet tall.
Do they look human?
Yes. Six fingers, six toes, multiple rows of teeth, huge skulls, huge jawbones, tremendous appetites, very intelligent, and obviously a lot stronger than
yes.
men.
Yes.
And so men served them, and they manipulated kings and civilizations, and their mission was to thoroughly corrupt this planet, to make it unusable for something.
Why?
Because there was an event that was going to occur on this Earth, and every world knew about it.
Except us, I guess.
No, we knew about it, too. And it was recorded, going back as far as writing could be found. And that event would be the birth of the Son of God. They wanted to make the earth unsuitable for that birth.
Why?
I'm not really sure, other than that their mission was different than the Creator's mission. He has opposition in the universe.
I mean, could you call the Nephilim evil?
Yes, I would say evil, although as a scientist, I'm trying not to call things evil.
It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah. So there are a lot of people that believe that the Son of God was born here to be the Savior of all mankind, not on just this earth, but all worlds in the universe.
Right, it might have happened all over the place. Yeah.
And that the reason he was sent here is because this was the most wicked earth and would be the only one that would crucify him, when in actuality we make the claim in the book that it was the most unlikely earth.
Hmm. Okay, so the Nephilim, they're here. They're trying to disrupt as much as they can. What happens? I mean, do they fight amongst each other?
Some of them do. They, because of lack of technology here, they couldn't do everything they wanted to do. So they commissioned man and helped him to build edifices to false gods, lead them down false trails. They helped them build pyramids and Stonehenge and taught them about astrology and all kinds of mysticism and craft and murder and war and all of these things that have led us around and around and in a cycle of self-destruction. And everywhere you go, whether it's the pyramids in Egypt or the buildings, great temples in South America, you see these creatures. They're standing there. In Egyptian writings, you can see them with wings standing behind earthly kings with their hand on the shoulder of the king.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of saying, you say the words, but I give the command.
Right, the puppet masters.
Sort of, yes. And they're everywhere. They're carved in stone. They're in paintings on paper or papyrus. They're carved, they're cast in clay. And this is the evidence that we found.
Are they hideous looking? Because I thought they looked like us.
They do look like us, only larger versions. Now, some of them are a little deformed. You can tell from their skull shapes, or from the shapes of their bodies, they're slightly deformed compared to us. But this is because over generations, they go through the same genetic aberrations that we do. There were only 200 of them when they originally came.
That's
so
it.
As they, you know, continue to inbreed or their offspring inbreeds, then they become corrupt.
How do we know, you know, if you look at one of the old Superman movies, Brooks, how do we know that the 200 weren't like you know, criminals from their own planet that they just shipped out, and they ended up here?
I don't think we know anything about that, other than we call them fallen. They at one time had glory. They had rule. They had scope. But they did not come here through any authority. They fell here, and they were able to take out, I guess, their revenge on the creation. So now we'll get back to the question as to why all this occurred. Why was the earth, why was all this energy expended to create an earth? And the reason is, and we try not to make this case too deeply in the book because that's not the purpose of the book, but the reason is that God has a mission. He has children, which is us, and he wants his children to become, to reach their full potential. And it doesn't take much reasoning for a person to realize that if they're the offspring of God, what will they be when they grow up?
Let's talk more.